scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Sports Rage, late night, level two. I am Morenci, the pimp, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between, throwing it down. Thanks to Babano and the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart for joining us in the first hour of the program. Another show that's just flying by. A lot of stuff still to get to. National Football League canceling weeks 2 and 3 of the National Football League preseason. Of course, the Hall of Fame game has already been shut down. And nobody really wants, you know, to think about the ugliness of not having NFL football at the end of this this tunnel. Like, the NFL is sort of that light at the end of the tunnel, right? People are like, man, I can deal with no hockey. I can deal with no basketball, but there better be NFL football. And there's just sort of been an assumption that, yeah, there's going to be NFL football. They're going to play. Well, wanting to play and actually playing are two different things. And whether people realize it or not, the National Football League's in a lot of trouble right now. They don't have a lot of room for air. They don't have time on their side suddenly. And the National Football League is one league that really, you know, their season ended just as this virus started. So the NFL was insulated from all the problems that COVID has been presenting leagues. And now it starts to get real for the National Football League, and it's going to get even realer right now. Once you get all these guys together, there's going to be a severe danger. The National Football League knows as well, like, their hypocrisy and the contradictions are all over the place. It's like they're putting tarps on the lower levels of the seats in the stadiums, okay? It's to get revenue from advertisers. Yet at the same point in time, they actually admit it's so fans can't, like, basically get the virus on the players. So, like, the NFL is basically admitting, yeah, we know that the fans are all going to have the virus and stuff, but we don't want them anywhere near the players. Yet we have to cancel the Hall of Fame game. We can't play these preseason games, but somehow magically everything's going to be fine just because, ooh, these games count now suddenly. I don't know. All that and more. Bring it. Level two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred did an interview with Dan Patrick in which he basically admits, and he admits something that could be libel as well, which is amazing to me, just how incredibly stupid this man is, and the fact that he's a commissioner of a major league sport like Major League Baseball, in which he actually admitted. And the thing is, too, I'd like all you jackasses in the media over the last, like, couple of months that called out the players and said, oh, both sides and this and that and rah, 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 and all the negotiations. And I said, you have to be a moron not to see that the owners never negotiated in good faith. And they admit it now. It's amazing how right we are all the time, actually. I think you guys just take it for granted. But I told you, like, the owners never had an intention of, like, playing. Like, the owners ran the clock out. They never had an intention of playing. And they put it out there, and people, like, just, it's low-hanging fruit to blame the players and stuff. But the players wanted to play 114 games. No. Got shut down. The players said, all right, let's play 81 games. Let's play half a season. No, that got shut down. And here's Rob Manfred saying, the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. Did you just say that? Did you just say that out loud, Mr. Commissioner?
Did you just say that out loud, actually? Because, you know, now the union can file a grievance alleging that you did not operate in good faith, that you just admitted you did not operate in good faith. Think about all the money that was spent by the Players Association on attorney fees. Think of all the meetings that they went to and attorney fees that they had to spend and money that they spent negotiating for something that the commissioner of baseball just admitted that they were never going to do anyways. It was just all a smokescreen to begin with. Like, that's how stupid and incompetent this guy is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm never going to watch baseball ever again because, you know, I'll be a hypocrite and I will end up watching baseball again. But I said this earlier and I stand by it. I mean it. Like, I'm not buying anything from Major League Baseball. Like, I'm not, like, you know, I see a jersey I like, a hat, I don't care. Like, I'm going to resist temptation. Or put it this way, I'll buy it, like, I'll buy a bootleg from China type thing. Yeah, I'll buy a bootleg Dodger jersey from China. I'll watch your games on streams. Like, it's to the point, like, baseball, like, they can't be any more, like, scummy than they are. Like, they're just sleazeballs, these guys. They're just sleazeballs. Never mind the fact they're complete incompetence as far as the COVID is concerned, in which they legitimately believe that they're going to be able to fly around and play in stadiums. Like, everything's going to be fine. Like, nothing is going to happen. Sheer incompetence. Sheer incompetence. But the fact that this guy actually says the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. To me, whatever, dude, if I'm a player and I'm the union, I'm suing you now for this comment. You admitted it. Like I said, we want our money back. All the money that I spent on attorney fees were pointless because you knew the whole time. Like, you basically just admitted to the fans. Now, the thing is, fans really are stupid. All right, look, people are running around trying to get coronavirus on purpose right now. The level of stupidity of society, it doesn't even surprise me anymore. And I really don't care if, like, most of you die, to be honest. It just bothers me. You're prolonging, like, the opening of society. Like, you know, if you all jumped off bridges at the same time, you think I would care? I don't care. The world would be a better place without many of you. But what are we going to do? You know what I mean? What are we going to do? So, like, the fact is, I guarantee, like, anybody that says anything about the players, oh, the players, they're the negotiations, they deserve to be punched in the face. Like, they deserve to be punched in the face. Like, if anybody at this point ever says anything about, oh, the players and baseball and this and that, like, when basically you have the owners and you have the commissioner that just freaking admitted, oh, yeah, we were never going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiations went. Like, if I was an owner, I'd actually be upset at Manfred for saying this because we would be liable for this. Like, it's you know, the disdain that, you know, like, just everything about baseball just sickens me. And not the players, the league, the owners. And, you know, a little bit with the players, that the players actually have agreed to all of this crap and to the rule changes and stuff. But, you know, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Like, if you look at the commissioners in sport, you can kind of tell who loves the game and who doesn't. Like, Roger Goodell, say what you will about Roger Goodell, but Roger Goodell loves the sport of football. You know what I mean? Like, the NFL is, they're resistant to rule changes. You know, they have, like, committees on top of committees about everything. Everything is very analyzed in the National Football League. Are we being drastic? Should we do this? Are we hurting the game? Listen, Roger Goodell's made a lot of mistakes, but I think his intentions, at least, you know, Roger Goodell likes the sport that he works in. Like, I don't think Rob Manfred likes baseball. Like, Rob Manfred should be, like, the CEO of Pepsi or something. You know what I mean? Well, probably not, because they'd be getting their ass handed to him by Coke if he was. Like, Rob Manfred's not only incompetent, like, running baseball, but You just get the feeling he doesn't like the sport. Like, he doesn't care about the sport itself. Look, he called the trophy a piece of tin before in the past. He's called the trophy a piece of tin. Like, there's just no respect, like, for the game, like, from baseball and from Manfred. And, like, he honestly, and at some point, you can say, well, I don't care. You're not a Major League Baseball player, so what do you care if the owners are scumbags to the whatever, to the players? But the thing is, like, when Rob Manfred says this stuff, he's insulting the fans as well. Like, I get insulted. Like, I get insulted, in which he goes on to blame the players for not agreeing to an expanded playoff. So in the same sentence, you admit that you never negotiated in good faith, that you only want to play 60 games in a shortened season. But at the same point in time, you take another pot shot at the players, how the players deprive the fans of more playoff baseball. Listen, Manfred, if that is your real name, no real baseball fan wanted 16 teams in the playoffs, jackass, okay? Nobody wanted 16 teams in the playoffs. Baseball's already been bastardized enough under your watch. It doesn't need to be bastardized anymore. You know, why not put 24 teams in the playoffs, Mr. Commissioner? I mean, 16, that's only 30 teams in the league, 16 out of 30. The players left real money on the table. See, it's always back to money with Manfred. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. Everything's about money in this world. Sports is about money. Sports is a business. I get all of that. But the fact of the matter is, there has to be a little bit of love of the game here. And there is no love of the game. We were playing 60 games in 63 days. I don't see, given the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, how we were going to get going any faster than the calendar we're on right now. Look, we did get a suboptimal result from the negotiations. The fans won't get an expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. The players left real money on the table. That's what happens when you have a negotiation. Instead of being collaborative, got into a conflict situation. What do you mean collaborative, bro? You just admitted you weren't even negotiating. Like, it's just like, at some point as a fan, I get tired of being talked down to from these people. And as I stated, I'm not going to buy any Major League Baseball merchandise, and I'm going to watch everything online. I'm going to watch everything online. No ratings, no merch, no money, not one single penny, all right? For Rob Manfred, for Bill DeWitt, the owner of the Cardinals, or any of these other scumbags that don't give a crap about the sport of baseball, they own the team solely as a personal ATM machine. Sports Rage Late Night, 844-843-6879. Hop up and in. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit of pressure building right now on the Washington football team. I'm amazed there hasn't been more of a push for them to change their name over the last couple of weeks. But as I stated, the level of hypocrisy with people gets exposed in times like this, right? You look at the NBA players, and the NBA players were very concerned. And, oh, we don't want to play because it's going to take away from the social issues that are going on right now. Yet when they were asked about social issues earlier in the year in Hong Kong during the protest, what did Russell Westbrook have to say about that? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Didn't LeBron James, when he was asked about the China stuff, say, do I have to have an opinion on everything? He said, I don't know. I'm not a politician. I don't have to have an opinion on everything. Right? So, like I said, the NBA players are a bunch of hypocrites. You know, they don't like police brutality, but they don't care about Hong Kong police brutality, right? Because they sell shoes there. So, like, they'll put their business interests first there. Now you get the National Football League, who comes out and acts like, you know, like they're the big you know, oh, we the NFL care about Black Lives Matter, and we the NFL this and that, and you know, you're also the same people that like basically blackballed Colin Kaepernick. It was disingenuous to begin with, and now you get into the Redskins stuff, and like really, if Roger Goodell wanted to score some points, like think about this, guys. Think about this. The state of Mississippi is actually removing the Confederate flag from their flag. You know, they had the Confederate flag was partially on the Mississippi state flag. People said, oh, no, they'll never change it. All it took is a couple of football coaches and the movement that we're in right now. And they said, yeah, you know what? We're going to take it off the flag. You're right. Now's the time. We're going to do this now. You look at NASCAR. NASCAR bans the Confederate flag. Yet somehow the NFL is going to what? You're going to hang on and you're going to say the Redskins name. Oh, the tradition. So as long as the National Football League has this name, like, you know, spare us the videos about how you care about anything, really. And listen, Daniel Snyder said in the past that, you know, over his dead body, even though he did copyright and trademark the Washington Braveheart name. But now we'll see if the pressure, if this matters. But according to a new report in Adweek, 87 investment firms that manage $620 billion. 87 investment firms and shareholders worth a combined $620 billion have sent letters to Nike, FedEx, and Pepsi telling them to stop doing business, and they're going to withdraw their investments in their companies if they continue to do business with the Washington Redskins, unless the Washington Redskins change their name. Basically, the sponsors that don't have any comment right now, yet also the District of Columbia is telling Snyder that you can't play in the District of Columbia. You can't play in the District of Columbia unless you change the name. As well, this is where the pressure is going to have to come. And, you know, like I said, if you're the National Football League, like, why wouldn't you just want to, like, for once be ahead of the curve, guys? Like, for once, just, like, do the right thing. Like, what are you hanging on to? Like, oh, what tradition? It's a racist name, man. It's not rocket science. It's racist. And you don't say, well, you know what? There's not a big outcry, so why would we do it? Like, that's just dumb. Like, there's no reason not to change it. So district officials have made it clear. So basically, the federal government owns the land. Last year, a bill was introduced that called, they can't play there unless they change their name. Long story short, for the Washington Redskins. Yet I don't really think Snyder, you know, Snyder will move on and try to find somewhere else to play. But the only people that can make this happen are the sponsors, because money is the only thing that talks with these people. Like, they don't care about the sensitivity. They don't care about the racism of things. It simply just doesn't bother them. All right, 844-843-6879. Yang in Des Moines. I didn't catch what you threw at me, Yang. All right, we've got J-Rod, I believe in Louisiana, right? Stepping up and in. What's going on, J-Rod?
Hey, what's up, Gabe? Yeah, down here in the Red Stick.
Hey, good to hear from you. It's been a little while. I remember my main man in the Bayou country. I know you've been meaning to check
Absolutely.
In. Absolutely. Yeah, I was just talking about this Redskin stuff, and you know it's inevitable. They're gonna have to change the name anyways. Just do it. Like, get ahead
Agreed.
Of it. Like, think about it, dude. The state of Mississippi is taking away the Confederate flag, and the NFL can't get rid of the Redskins, bro. What kind
right.
of world are we living in, man? But anyways, I know that's not what you're calling.
Right.
But how you
All
been?
The Confederate statues are coming down, and yet the Redskins continue to deadskin. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's amazing.
I don't know.
Oh, our tradition. Our tradition. Well, your you know what your tradition is? Of being a bad football team. You know, that's what I think of your tradition.
Right.
Like, I think of the Redskins. I just think of a crappy franchise. There's your tradition. Although they did beat my Bills.
In 2012, when I moved out of there back to Louisiana, it really was shifting away from them, and they didn't want to admit that.
Yeah, you know, Snyder has really alienated people in that market too, right? It's just,
oh, absolutely.
You know,
and with the Nationals winning now, absolutely.
Yeah, it's too bad too, because that member of the XFL, the DC team was kind of popular out of the gate. People were buying jerseys. It was pissing Snyder off. I liked it. That's why I liked the DC Defenders.
Right,
just I was like, because you know, I knew people hate Snyder so much in Washington. And I was like, you know, they're going to support the DC Defenders just to spite Snyder, and they did. They did, but unfortunately, the league went down.
Right.
But it might be back. But what's on your mind tonight, my man?
You got me on Colin Kaepernick. All the words, just I don't. They mean nothing. Why is he not on a football team, Gabe? There's so many bad quarterbacks. Look at Chicago. Like, how can he not be some on the Bears roster? Maybe he doesn't have to start. I don't understand. What is going on?
Because the owners haven't changed, bro. Roger Goodell could do that little "we the National Football League" and "we this and that." And then, I'm with you, bro. I'm not saying you give Colin Kaepernick a $22 million a year deal, but you're telling me.
No, give him what Cam got. Let him earn it.
Well, how about Matt Schaub in Atlanta, dude? Like, if Matt Schaub comes in, the Atlanta Falcons go 0-16. You're telling me he's not better than Matt Schaub?
Right. They're not going to win a game, right?
Chad Henne with the Kansas City Chiefs? Chad Henne, really?
What about the Tennessee Titans? What do they have, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't think I ever will.
Listen, if he doesn't get signed now, then we know the truth. Then we just know that these guys...
Yeah, you're totally right.
And now he's the last one standing. But, dude, I don't know, and I don't want to listen. I'm white, so it's hard for me to sit here and make this argument, but I'm looking from the outside in, bro. And Jameis Winston signs for $1 million. Black quarterback. Oh,
yeah.
He led the league in interceptions. Yeah, he led the league in passing yards, too. You know, Eli Manning led the league in interceptions like twice, bro. Peyton Manning threw like 1 million interceptions
right.
when he was young in his career. So Jameis Winston signs for $1 million.
Right.
Cam is a former MVP. You know, he's got to beg for a job, basically. I don't know, man. Like, it seems like
how long Joe Flacco was protected in Baltimore.
Yeah, and Joe Flacco gets signed right away again now. Dude, how about this, Jared?
Right.
Joe Flacco ripped the Denver Broncos last year. Remember? He said, "Oh, I don't know what the hell we're doing. Our system sucks. I don't know what we're doing." Guy gets signed. You know what I mean? He ripped the system. Dude, Joe Flacco can't even get over and tie his shoes, bro. Like, nothing against Joe Flacco. I'm 50. I'm falling apart, bro. I'm healthier than Joe Flacco. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joe Flacco can't
even bend
over and tie his shoes. And you're signing Joe Flacco.
Right, I'm 40, and I can run circles around Joe Flacco. It's hilarious.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you go down the list, it's like, just admit it, guys. You hate him. Like, you know what I mean? Just say you hate him.
Yeah, I don't even know my team's quarterback, Jimmy G, is that much better than – if you look at the last year, look at the Niners offense that people love to pile on. They were 8-8. We were 8-8. That's fine. Look at who he had on offense. He had nothing. I'm not sure Jimmy's really that much better. Certainly Jimmy's contract is I mean, it's ridiculous.
Listen, I think.
Man, I don't know.
I think Colin Kaepernick, I still think he's going to be back. Maybe I'm naive. I think in a Baltimore, a Kansas City, maybe a Tennessee. There's going to be a coach somewhere. Once somebody goes down, they're going to say, all right, let's do this. And to me, It would be a smart move, bro.
I really hope so. I really hope you're right. I have Barry Bonds on the brain, though. How can that man have been blackballed with an over 1,000 OPS in 2004? But I hope you're right, that somebody stands up and says, we need a freaking quarterback.
Barry Bonds is not much of a jerk. That's why. He really is. Hey, don't disrage him. J-Rod in the fourth place lane.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Show. Happy Canada Day to our Canadian listeners. Early happy 4th, everybody in the United States of America. All right, we were just talking about Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, he's the last one standing right now. I do believe, and I could be naive about this, but I do believe that Kaepernick will get signed once quarterbacks start getting hurt. There's no one left. There's, like, no quarterbacks left right now, right? Like, Cam Newton was available. And, listen, we had a poll question last week about this. And I asked people, would you rather have Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick? And you guys, listen, you guys thought the same way the New England Patriots did, because it was, like, 80% said Cam Newton. Thing is, I think Colin Kaepernick could be a massive steal. That's the thing. Like, that's the gamble that I would be willing to take if I was an organization. He's 32 years old. He hasn't been tackled in, like, nearly 5 years, man. The guy, he's not beat up. He's a young 32. And 32 is not old, guys, all right? Like, he's still fast, man. And I don't think people realize how good Colin Kaepernick actually was when he was on the football field. Like, Colin Kaepernick, I think people seem like, you know, I don't know. People have, you know, revisionist history, selective memory, etc. Colin Kaepernick, guys, went to a Super Bowl and could have won the Super Bowl. Should have won the Super Bowl, if not for the bad play calling. They took the ball out of his hands. Well, they threw the ball for one reason or another. Like, even I know. What the hell are you doing? Like, they should have beaten the Baltimore Ravens in that game. They came back. They had the ball on the 4-yard line, man. Whatever, man. Harbaugh and Greg Roman screwed it up. And Harbaugh like, always screws it up inside the 5-yard line. It's like one of Harbaugh's it's like an arch nemesis for this guy. Like, it's cost him against Ohio State. It cost him a Super Bowl. Like, Jim Harbaugh, like, countless times, guys. You know how many games Michigan have lost because they couldn't punch it in from the 1-yard line? Like, first and goal from the 2, and somehow they go backwards, and, you know, San Francisco had the opportunity. Kaepernick also led them to an NFC Conference Championship game. Now, I understand it was a previous era, but, like, what do you think? Like Tom Brady's playing at 43 right now? Drew Brees is playing at 42, 41, 42, but Kaepernick's too old at 32, even though he hasn't played in 4 years. And, you know, Kaepernick, you wouldn't have to pay him all that much money either. So I do. Listen, if he doesn't get signed now, he's never going to get signed. We'll put it that way. He doesn't get signed now, he's never getting signed. But if somebody gets hurt, the thing is, nobody's practicing. No one can get hurt, right? No one's practicing. There's no camps going on. So once there's camps that go on and people get hurt, and inevitably they will, and they get coronavirus, etc., there'll be one last opportunity for Kaepernick to get signed. Winston's off the market. Cam Newton's off the market right now. He's the last one standing. He's the last one standing. All right, there was a story I want to get to, actually, as far as the NBA is concerned. And the NBA, I actually like the idea. You know, we were calling out the hypocrisy of the NBA earlier, of the NBA players. But this is pretty interesting, yet they're not going to do it. I would have, you it would have really, really freaked people out if they did. But the NBA, they were going to wear, the players were going to wear, like, victims of, like, murder victims, police brutality victims. Like, essentially, NBA players are going to wear George Floyd on the back of the NBA jersey and Trayvon Martin and, you know, and other victims. It was the player's idea that wanted to do this, and pretty deep, actually. Pretty deep, except they're not doing it. They're not going to do it because there are so many victims. They don't want to leave people out, number one. Number two, it's there's not enough time. There's not enough time to pull it off. Like, you need permission and stuff. You can't just, you know, you can't just put Trayvon Martin's name on the back of a jersey. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to speak to the family, man. Like, it's very, there's a lot of legal issues. It's complicated. And, like, the players were like, their heart was in the right place. They were like, you know what? We can even sell the jerseys and we'll give the money, like, and stuff. Like, the NBA players, they're, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when Kyrie Irving said, oh, let's boycott, I said, you're an idiot, bro. I said, you can use this platform to get your message across that you want to get across. And you know, what they're going to do, they're putting Black Lives Matter on the court. So there's going to be, like, an I Can't Breathe logo on the court on, like, one side, or a Black Lives Matter logo on the court. So they're actually getting it on the hardwood. And then on top of it, they wanted to do the jersey thing, but for legal purposes, it was just a bit much. And I like, it was Chris Paul behind it, I believe. And I like what Chris Paul said. He said, you know, he said, we know when we start playing, people are going to forget about the victims. And he said, if they were on the back of our jerseys, you wouldn't be able to forget. And I was like, damn, man, that's a pretty smart idea, bro. That's pretty hardcore. Right. But it's also a sponsorship nightmare as well. Like, right. People are going to say, oh, man, I want to tune in. I don't want to tune in. It's too heavy. It's like, oh, God, you just want us to watch basketball. And I understand. I understand. Like, why the league, you know, and the sponsors would think, oh, boy, this is, you know, this is just going to be more controversy for the league. But credit to the NBA players, their heart's in the right place. And I think it's going to be interesting. They're trying to come up, you know, they're very proactive with this, though, as you're seeing. They are trying to come up with positive ways in which they can have some positive influence, which I respect them for. You know, I respect these guys for this. I respect them a hell of a lot more than I respect, like, Rob Manfred and his bunch of cronies that are basically, you know, what's their message? Their message is screw the world, screw you, die of coronavirus for all we care. But hey, ha 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 ha, you know, we got what we wanted with the 60 games, right? Like, you know, that's the difference with the NBA. They don't always get it right, but their heart at least is in the right place, right? You know, that's what I'll tip my cap to them for. So the NBA playoffs around the corner right now. And, you know, it's getting realer. It's getting realer. And, you know, the Brooklyn Nets have lost all their players right now. So we were looking and we're wondering about, all right, how do we jump in on this? And it looks like the Washington Wizards can legitimately play themselves into the playoffs right now. But now Bradley Beal says he's undecided suddenly. Now Bradley Beal, undecided. Which would frustrate the hell out of me. It's like, you know, if you're the Washington Wizards, you guys have been given, you guys were thrown basically a life raft here only because of Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. All right. And you guys get a chance to get into the playoffs right now, and you can get into the playoffs. And now Bradley Beal is unsure whether he wants to go into the bubble or not. Listen, I personally don't care. The Washington Wizards aren't going to have any impact in the big picture of anything, all right? But it's frustrating, you know, for these future bets. If, you know, every time I'm like, man, I'm going to pull the trigger on this, Then it's like, oh, no, they have coronavirus. Or, oh, no, this guy's not playing. It's very, very difficult. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I haven't pulled the trigger on a lot of, you know, a lot of the future bets that we're looking at right now. I can't wait till next week. We have the MLS tournament that's going to be starting 1 week from now. The MLS is back tournament soccer. That's going to be off the hook, man. We're going to have soccer 16 days in a row, three games, one early morning game, then a couple of night games. So I'm looking forward to the MLS coming back. For me, I'm just looking forward, you know, I want to get back into the betting routines here. And, you know, we've been doing all right with the soccer. We've been doing all right with some late night stuff. Speaking of which, we've got some New Zealand. They're playing basketball in New Zealand in the overnight hours now. New Zealand basketball is back. Anything else going on here tonight? No, it's a light night. Like, this is what I'm just getting tired of. I'm tired of, like, esports and stuff. Like, bring it on. Let's get some NBA basketball going once again. And I'm not going to go crazy, guys, once they come back either. Those first eight games back, I'm not going nuts. We're going to take baby steps. Those are like preseason games. It's all about the playoffs, right? It's all about the playoffs. And I think what the NBA is, too, they prolonged it too much. So they come back July 31st, yet the NBA finals aren't going to be over until October. Right? Like, it's not some quick, oh, they're coming back and boom. You know, that's the one thing that I don't like about the NHL and the NBA. I think they waited too long. And I think they gave themselves so much time thinking, well, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We need time to, you know, to have contingency plans. I think you guys left yourselves so much time that only bad things can happen. In which more and more players, like the sooner players got in the bubble, the better, basically. But here we are now. We're a couple of weeks away from this. The Raptors are already in the bubble. The rest of the teams are going to be in the bubble shortly. And then we can really start confidently, you know, breaking this stuff down. Because I just get frustrated, man. You know, like we're breaking down all these baseball futures. But at the same point in time, I'm like, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. Like the NBA, I think they'll be able to pull this off in the bubble. As long as the players are not, you know, exposed. Baseball, you don't have to be Tony Fauci to see and to know that Major League Baseball teams, how the hell are they going to fly in Arizona right now without getting coronavirus? How are you going to go to Texas without getting coronavirus? And then, you know, one guy, two guys get it on the team. They're back on the plane with everybody else. Then everybody else has it. Like, what is it going to take? Like, what, for a manager to die? Like, at what point do we say, you know, we can't pull this off? And I'm not there yet. But for betting purposes, I'm not ready for my money to be sitting. I'm not ready for my money just to be sitting there with all this uncertainty. Like, NFL future is a good example. I have my severe doubts they're going to be able to start on September the 10th. I think like that whole we start in October, they shorten the season thing, I think that could come into play. And if you're betting like win totals, they got to play 16 games. So anytime you're betting any bet right now, like any future, just make sure you read the fine print. Like, you know, the make the playoff props are okay. The win totals are not okay. Like baseball win totals, they got to play 59 games. Are they really going to play 59 games? Right? So you really got to pick your spots and read the fine print when betting on futures right now. All right. Great job by our master control, Midtown Des Moines, here this evening. We'll get you our Rocket Mortgage picks. We get out of here tonight. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Break the pain. All right, great stuff. Fun times here this evening. Thanks to Babano. Thanks to the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, for stepping up and in here this evening. So we got the Rocket Mortgage, man. They're teeing off actually shortly since we are in the late night hours. This is pretty Sammy Square of us right here. But the way that DeChambeau is playing right now, we're getting him at 19-1 to be leading after the first round of play. A nice, simple one-day wager, 19-1. DeChambeau to be leading after the first round of play. We're gonna take it. And I'll tell you what, too. It's minus 135. Listen, for him to finish in the top five is plus 150. Yet minus 135 isn't that bad for the top 10. And DeChambeau, this guy has been in the top 10 in every tournament that they've played in since they've come back, and seven of the last eight overall. All right, like this guy is just a top 10 freaking machine. Now we have a weakened field, a shorter field here. No reason why he can't be in the top 10. And I'm actually surprised it's not like minus 200. I really am. Like me and Cam were talking about this. The guy's only 6-1 to win a tournament. You're getting him 19-1. They're great odds, 19-1 to be leading after the first round. And he's 6-1 to win the tournament, yet he's only minus 135 to be top 10. It's actually value to get this guy. And guys, you every week we sit here, we're like, man, well, I know we took him last week, but we're going to do it again. We're just going to keep riding this right now. No reason not to, all right? So I don't know who's going to win this stupid tournament. I got no idea. But I'm going to take Bryson DeChambeau. I'm going to take Bryson DeChambeau to be leading after the first round at 19-1. And give me DeChambeau to be in the top 10 as well. Above the top 20 props. Ricky Fowler, top 20. This guy, top 20, just retired. Plus 165. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.